Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you that we have a Heavenly Father who cares deeply, who comes after us even when we're struggling, who doesn't want to leave us in our mess, that we can give honor and glory to no matter what we're walking through in life. And today, God, we just offer back our thank you, our gratitude. And Lord, we're thankful for that breath. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to serve you, to honor you, to love you. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well this morning? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys sound good this morning. Y'all were singing. Well, my name is Bobby, and I want to thank you for being here this morning. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I would just say thank you again, a special thank you. Your presence matters to us here. We would love to connect with you, and we have several ways to do that, and so don't leave here without being connected. I do want to draw your attention to a couple things before I jump into today's message. You're welcome every Sunday, but I want you to be extra welcome next Sunday, all right? It's going to be a really big Sunday for us. There's going to be a lot going on. For the past year, we've been in a campaign to raise some money. We called it the Hope Project, and next Sunday is our one-year mark. We were just doing a one-year campaign. We're going to end that chapter of the Hope Project next Sunday, and so I've got a lot of updates to give you. I've got a lot of information I want to share with you, and so please make it a point to be back here next week. So many of you have invested into that. You gave towards that. You've pledged towards that, and we're going to close that out next week, and so make sure you're a part of it. If you want to give to it, you need some more information, all of it is online. It's all on our website there, and you can get what that's all about. And then also next week, as Pastor Brian mentioned, we're going to start a new series called On Purpose. Okay. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you. If you are looking to come to church to get patted on the back and feel good, you don't want to come the next 4 weeks. Okay. I'm going to challenge you. God's word is going to challenge you. And it's going to not just challenge you, but maybe open up your eyes to some of the needs. But also, we want to share so many stories of the difference that we've been able to make here at City Hope in our community and throughout the world. So be here next week for those two things. A lot of really good stuff that is going to happen. All right. Colossians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to finish up this series. Now, we're not going to get through the whole book, but we're just going to press pause. I'll come back and pick it up at a later time. All right. But we're going to stop here after chapter 3. We're going to get through chapter 3 today. Well, most of chapter 3 today. And then we'll pick back up at a later time. Paul is writing a letter to the church. Now, just go ahead and think about it. He's writing a letter to Christians. He's writing a letter to people who have confessed and they want God to be a part of their life, right? And so Paul didn't start this church. He hasn't even met these people, but he's writing them a letter because he's been hearing some things. He's been encouraging their faith in the Lord, okay? So chapter 1 and chapter 2 build really this theological foundation. Very, very, very important what Paul is teaching here. He's saying that Christ is in you and that the fullness of Christ is enough, and he's warning against all of these false teachings. But then today, in chapter 3, Paul gives he transitions into this ethical application of everything that he's been saying. Okay, so he's been teaching for two chapters, and now he's saying, okay, church, I've taught you all this, so what happens now? What does that really look like? I want to give you the takeaway first, okay? This is the takeaway for this whole entire chapter, if you need one sentence, and it's this. Because of your union with Christ, there are implications. Because of your union with Christ, there are implications. In other words, think about it like this. If this part of your life is true, if this part of your life is true, then this part of your life has to be true as well. It's going to complement each other. It's going to be, so there's implications for your union with Christ. So let's jump in and let's see what Paul says. There's so much good stuff here. I want you to see all that Paul has to say, because I really believe, let me just stop here for a second. That this morning in the first service, it was great. I love preaching in the first service. They're the early morning people. I'm not an early morning person, but they come in and they got some energy and they're excited. And I love that because it gives me a little bit of juice. But I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes in the first service, because I know we have a second service and we got to change things, we got a lot to do, I go and I try to get through this as quick as I can. And I felt like at the end of the service today, I felt like I rushed through some of this, because all week long, God's put this on my heart that somebody here today needs this. Like I truly believe all week long that God has you here for a reason. And I don't want to rush through this, all right? Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be here till noon, okay? So don't panic. But I believe this. Like, you're not here by coincidence. You're not here by accident. On this day today, when we're talking about this, God has you here. So I just want to encourage you to listen. I want to encourage you to just put all distractions off and then just think about, all right, God, what do you want me to hear today? Because this is important. Let's jump in. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I want to start right there at the beginning, because there's a little word right here, and we've underlined it and highlighted it for you. It's if. What such a small word with a very big implication. But I want you to notice what he says. If you. He doesn't say if your family. He doesn't say if your kids. He doesn't say, he says if you have a relationship with Christ. So if you've been raised with Christ, meaning I've given my life to Jesus, I've surrendered to him, I say, here I am, Lord, use me. If you have been raised with Christ, and then he gives you these requests. Seek the things above, set your minds on things above. So Paul sets the bar pretty high here. Believers are called to seek the things above and set our minds on things above. Now this if question, I want to pause here, because this is a question that only you can answer. Nobody can answer this question for you. Nobody else knows if you're in this if, unless you have made the decision in your life to give your heart and your life to the Lord. If you have been raised with Christ, Paul says, seek and set. So in other words, here's what Paul's saying. Jesus' resurrection from the grave, it doesn't just change your eternity, it should change your present habits. It doesn't just change, oh, I get to go to heaven instead of hell. It should change all of my habits, because my duty, if I have been recognized with Christ, my duty is now to seek and to set. Now, I'm not an English major by any stretch of the imagination. The verb tense here of seek is a present active imperative. What that means is this: you're commanded to keep doing this over and over and over. Seek doesn't mean just one time. Oh, it was one time I sat down and did this. Seek means I never stop doing it. I'm constantly seeking every day. I'm seeking the things of Jesus. And Paul says, if this part of your life is true, then this needs to be true. You need to seek and you need to set your mind on things above. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean I go outside and look at the clouds? Like I'm setting my minds on things above? What does that mean for me and you? So when Paul says seek the things above, what he's telling us to do is to align our lives with the things that Christ values. What are the things that God values? What are the things that heaven values? And let me say it like this. Heaven's values should shape earth's behaviors. Heaven's values should shape earth's behaviors. So that's me and you. If I'm a part of the if, heaven's values should shape how I act, how I live my life here on earth. So what are some of the priorities of heaven? What are some of heaven's values? Well, forgiveness, humility, service, purity, generosity, worship, the glory of God, the holiness of God. We can go on and on and on, right? The great commission, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, right? Make disciples, teach others, observe all that Jesus has commanded. Paul is telling the church here that the center of gravity must be Jesus. That's the thing that your whole life needs to rotate around. Now, what we often see is that Jesus is just another thing on the shelf. It's another grocery. I'm gonna go, oh, let me get a little Jesus this week and put it in my basket. And Paul's saying, no. If you are a believer, then you should set and seek your mind on these things all the time. We're called to seek. But I want you to see this because this is so, so, so important. Notice that although Paul is writing this letter to a church, he's kind of individualizing it because he said, if you are raised with Christ. So what does that mean, church? It means that it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, you do the right thing. It doesn't matter if nobody else around you is seeking the Lord and the things above. If nobody else around you is setting their minds on things above, you do the right thing. Because at the end of the day, listen, and maybe this is for our young people in the room more, but maybe not. God's not gonna stand, you're not gonna stand before God and he's not gonna ask you, hey, what did everybody else do with their life? He's gonna stand there and say, what did you do with yours? What did you do with your life? And so it doesn't matter. You know how many times we don't do something because nobody else is doing it and we're afraid and we're fearful? He says, if this part of your life is true, then you need to seek and you need to set. Biblical scholar, his name's F.F. Bruce, unbelievable. If you like to dig in and get deep, he says this, to seek the things above is to live under the influence of heaven's order. The priorities of Jesus now governing our lives. So Paul tells us to seek and set our minds on things above if we are associated with Christ. That's the first implication. If, then this will happen. If you are, then this should happen. But then look what happens next. And this is where we're going to get a little bit personal today. Look at verse 5. He says, therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Then he starts listing things. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all of the fire. Now he's got another list. Put away these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old self with its practices. Dang, Paul, name and sin. I wonder today, did he name yours? Maybe I should phrase it like this. Which one are yours? I mean, he just straight up starts talking. Now, go back to the context here. A lot of these things is what the world was doing. A lot of these things is what called, you know, sexual immorality and lust and evil desires. I mean, there was some wicked, wicked stuff going on back in that culture. So Paul's kind of calling out these things because even Christians can fall into this stuff, right? And let's look at our world today. Not a lot different. A lot of sexual immorality, a lot of evil, a lot of lust, a lot of impurity going on in our world today. And listen to how Paul says this. He doesn't say, oh, come on, guys, let's not do that. He says, put to death. You got to put these things to death. To death is a violent, intentional action, right? It means to decisively remove anything in my life that competes with Christ. Anything at all that competes with who God is and what his word says, I need to kill and get it out of my life. So this first kind of list of sins that he gives here are sins of desire. These are sins of desire, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed. How do I put these kind of sins to death? I love Paul, and I love what he's challenging the church to do, but my simple mind goes, okay, Paul, I want to put it to death. What do I do? Just not think about it? Just try harder? Well, over the years, I've been able to teach this because I felt like years and years ago, God gave me kind of this little equation that I use in my life, and I've taught this for many years, and I want to share it with you. How do I put these type of desires, these sinful desires, how do I put them to death? Let me give you a quick equation. It's hate it, starve it, outsmart it. I hate it, I starve it, and I outsmart it. Real practical, all right? Number one, hate it. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Here's the thing, church, you're never gonna kill something you secretly love. You're never gonna get out of a sin that you don't hate as much as God hates, right? Because what happens is sin grows when we give it tolerance. Our sin continues to grow. If our soil is, oh, it's okay, I just do it every once in a while. Oh, it's okay. The things that we tolerate, guess what's gonna happen? It's gonna keep growing. It's not just gonna stay a small sin. It's gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the first step in killing our sin is to see it as God sees it. We have to hate it. It's poisonous. It's not pleasure. If it nailed Jesus to the cross, it should not take any place in your life. I gotta hate it the way that God hates it. Number two, I gotta starve it. Romans 13, verse 14 says, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Understand this today, that sin lives off what you feed it. Your sin and my sin lives off what we feed it. If you stop giving it opportunity to grow, guess what happens? It starts to die. Maybe your sin is, let's just pick a few, okay? Maybe your sin is gossip, all right? How do I stop gossip? How do I starve gossip? Well, I starve gossip by refusing to listen to it. I starve lust by cutting off triggers and replacing them with truth. I starve pride by going and having an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. I starve these things. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever you starve dies. Then number three, outsmart it. Outsmart it. I gotta hate it. I gotta starve it. And then number three, I gotta outsmart it. Be alert, 1 Peter 5:8, and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Church, listen to me. You can't be careless with your sin, because you have an enemy who is very strategic in getting you to fall into this sin. Sin is not just some, oh, I had a moment of weakness. Sin is always a setup for something bigger. So I outsmart it by knowing the patterns that are going on in my life. I know that when temptation hits when I'm tired. Temptation hits when I'm by myself. Temptation hits when I'm on my phone and I'm tired and I've had a long day and everybody else is in bed. Temptation hits when I start comparing my life to everybody else, and guess what I have to do? I gotta outsmart it. I put boundaries up in my life, and when I feel myself getting tired, I take steps and I have a plan in place, and I have to outsmart the sin. Because we can't just fight it. We have to make sure that we have wisdom and that we're doing what God called us to do, and that is put it to death. So Paul says, you gotta put the old nature to death. You can't live in these things. If you have this relationship, put those old things to death. So he's describing this spiritual warfare. And by the way, you don't drift into holiness. I want you to think about that for a second. You don't drift into holiness. You decide to pursue holiness. You're not just gonna wake up tomorrow and feel like, oh, I'm a holy person, right? And you won't kill anything that you're still cuddling. You don't kill the temptation, the sin, the impurity, the lust. You don't kill any of that if you're just cuddling it. So Paul calls out these sins of desires, and he gives him these firm instructions on killing sin. But then he lists this other list of sins. Verse 7, you once walked in these things when you were living in them.
But now, put away all the following. Now here it goes. Anger, shoot. Wrath, malice, slant, filthy language. Don't lie to one another. So he gives us the sins of desire earlier. Now he's listing these sins of attitude and speech. Anybody struggle with any of these? Oh, y'all are holy. I got you. So he tells us to put the sins of desire to death. And then he says with these, he says, you got to put these off and you got to put these away. Now understand what he's saying here. Paul is not saying, now hear this today, this is important. Paul is not saying that if you're a Christian, you're never going to struggle with any of these things. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you don't live under these things anymore. These things don't rule your life anymore. Yeah, you might slip up. Yeah, you're probably, even Paul says in Romans chapter 7, I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do is what I keep on doing. So he's expressing there is a struggle going on here. Anger, wrath, all of these things, there's a struggle, but I want you to understand this. The struggle means that there's a fight inside of you. The struggle means that there's evidence of life inside of you. It's when you stop struggling with these things, meaning I just don't even care anymore. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to use filthy language. I'm going to lie. I'm going to talk however I want. That's when we have a problem. But if the struggle is there, the very fact that sin is grieving you and you're wishing you didn't say that and you're wishing you could take it back, the very fact that that's inside of you reveals that there is an evidence of the spirit being within you. And so Paul is saying here, man, we gotta put that off. We gotta put this anger stuff, this malice, this wrath. We gotta put all of that off. And then he says this. Look, let's keep moving here. He says in verse 9, since you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. Okay? So right there, you're born into sin. Every single one of us have sin. You were born into a sinful body with a sinful nature. Nobody ever had to teach their kids how to lie, how to cheat, how to steal. Hopefully you didn't do that, but nobody ever had to teach us these things, right? Why? Because we're just natural sinners. We're natural selfish. So the old self is sin. And if you have accepted Christ, then the new self comes in, right? The new me, the new person. Doesn't mean I'm never going to fall, but it means I'm a new person. And I'm going to strive and I'm going to keep pushing. He says, since you have been put off the old self, you got rid of that self and you put on the new self. Listen to what he says. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your creator. So all the things that you used to know, you're learning new things. You're learning how to act. You're learning how he wants you to behave. You're learning how he wants you to talk. All of this knowledge is coming from him. And then he says this, in Christ, there's no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. So here's what he's saying. Jesus overcomes all barriers. All cultural barriers that we see here in the Bible. And he unites believers together. We put off our old self. We put on our new self. We're all still individuals. But the world tries to divide us into groups, right? The world tries to do that. But the body of Christ, there's no such distinction. He's saying Christ is sufficient for everyone. The new, those that are new, Christ is sufficient for all. So we've been told what to put off. We've been told what to put to death. Well, what is the opposite? Let's look what he says in verse 12. So he says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved. Now look at this list. He listed all of our sins that we're supposed to put off. Now look what we're supposed to put on. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Look at this. Verse 14. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So listen. Sometimes we miss this part. it's not just about stopping sin, it's about starting righteousness. It's not just about you not doing things that you shouldn't do, it's about doing the things that God wants. It's putting on these things, right? And so often, what do? We just focus on, okay, if I don't do that, then I'm good, right? But here's Paul saying, no, you can't just stop there. It's not about just stopping doing the bad stuff. It's about starting to do righteous things. It's about starting to live your life. And I think this is really what he's getting at. If you don't fill the space that sin used to occupy, it'll come back. If you don't fill up that void that your life once had when you lived in those ways, guess what? It's going to rear its ugly head again. And just like you get up this morning and you picked out what clothes you're gonna wear. Some of y'all got dressed in the dark and I can tell, right? But just like tomorrow you're gonna get up and you're gonna put clothes on. You're gonna walk out of your house, you're gonna make a choice. Here's what Paul's saying. You have a choice to put on kindness today. You have a choice to put on forgiveness, to put on love. Now here's what we do. Listen, here's what we do. We say, the flesh says, well, let me go out into the world and see how everybody else treats me. Then I'll decide what I'm gonna put on, right? Let me go see if everybody's mean to me or how everybody's driving today or how my boss is acting today. What stupid emails am I gonna get today? Then I'll decide what I'm gonna put on. But here's Paul. Wait a minute. Put on all these things. Don't wait and see how the world treats you. Put on what God wants you to do. See, putting off is just half the battle. Putting off without putting on leaves you spiritually naked. If I'm just trying my best not to sin without putting any righteousness in it, then I'm still gonna wind up empty. And so I have to make the decision that I'm gonna replace those sins. I'm gonna put those things off. But what am I gonna put on in place of those things? I'm gonna replace anger with grace. I'm gonna replace gossip with prayer. I'm gonna replace greed with generosity. I'm gonna replace lust with love and purity. You see where I'm going? We have to replace those things, not just simply not do it. But here's something that I love about the end of this. So Paul tells us these things to put on, but then he says these two words. He says, let the peace of God dwell among your hearts. Wait a minute. Then he says, let the word of God dwell. He's saying, wait a minute, how do I let it dwell? How do I let the peace of God? How do I let the word of God? Well, in order for me to let it do its thing, that means it has to be there and available, right? And so often we walk through our lives and I'm just praying for God's peace. I'm praying for God's peace. And here's Paul saying, let the peace of Christ rule your heart. It is a decision that you get to make. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. Let the word of God dwell in you. His peace and his word are there for you. And you have a choice whether you're gonna put it on or not. So Paul, he moves from these specific instructions. Put off sin, put it to death, put on love, forgive, live in peace, dwell in the word of God. But then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and this is where we're gonna end today. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Paul kind of gives this sweeping statement that covers every part of your life and my life. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. I feel like Paul was, he gave us the list of sins, he gave us the list of righteousness and things to put on, and I feel like he said this verse because it's like, okay, church, in case I missed something, in case I didn't cover your sin, in case I didn't cover the thing that you're struggling with, I want you to understand what I'm saying. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? So that means every conversation that I have, every conversation, every task, every decision, every attitude, I need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, what one thing that we're really good at is we try to split up, you know, secular and spiritual. And here's Paul, he's saying, no. It's all spiritual when we do it for Christ. If you are a part of this family over here, it's all spiritual. Everything that you do, every aspect, every test, every email, every phone call, every ball game, everything that we do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so I want you to think about this. This kind of hit me this week, and I want to close with this thought. If Paul is saying that whatever I do and everything that I do needs to be done for Christ, well then, you know what that tells me is that everything that I do matters to God. Every single thing, every time that I parent, every time that I discipline, every time that I go out of my house and go to the grocery, if Paul is saying, then everything must matter. But we live our lives like, you know what matters is Sunday. Sunday matters that we go to church for an hour once a month. And here's Paul saying that no. There's not spiritual activities and unspiritual activities. Everything matters. And this should reshape our lives. And this is how you should wake up tomorrow. You're not going to work. You're going out on a mission. You're not raising children. You're raising disciples. You're not just serving coffee, you're serving Christ. And it's a mindset shift that when everything that I'm doing, I understand I'm not just living life, I'm carrying his name everywhere I go. And that's what Paul's calling us to. That's what he wants you and I to live. That's the life. Put all that sin to death. Get it out of your life. Hate it, starve it, outsmart it, get it. Put on all of these beautiful, wonderful things of Christ. And when you mess up, there's forgiveness. When you mess up, there's repentance. Oh, and God's gonna be there for you. But guess what? It's a lot more than just stopping this. It's starting to put these things on. Whatever you do, I don't know what your day even looks like today. I don't know what your day looks like, your week looks like this week. But whatever you do, big or small, public or private, carry his name well. Carry his name well. Do it for him. Thank him every chance you get. I thought about, for some reason, as we were singing the song a minute ago, Christmas came into my mind. I think the girls were talking about Christmas, and my wife's a little crazy and my house is already decorated for Christmas. So anyways, this must be on my mind. If you get one of your kids a gift, let's just say you give your kid a gift of a keyboard, right? And you got a couple of kids and, man, thanks dad, thanks mom, thanks for the keyboard. And then brother or sister comes over and what do they want to do, right? They didn't get a keyboard, so they want to play with the keyboard, right? And what if Joseph's too old to be my son, but if Joseph was my son and he said to his brother, no, you can't touch my keyboard. It's my keyboard. It's probably gonna happen, right? Let's just be honest. It's probably gonna happen. But as you as a parent, what are you gonna say? Man, it's awesome, that's for you, but you can share. You don't have to be a turd, right? You don't have to be a jerk about it. Share. It's not just for you. And parents, if we were doing that, we would look at our kid who has something amazing that's not willing to share it, and man, you're not doing your part. We just gave you that. How can you not share it? How can you be so selfish, right? And then as we were sitting here this morning, that's what I started thinking. That's what so many of us do with our faith. We get it and we like it and it's awesome, but guess what? We don't share it. It's mine, for whatever reason. And I'm thankful that I got it, and I'm praising God, and I do what I can, but I don't ever share it. And honestly, this is exactly what Paul's talking about. He's saying, listen, if you're raised up with Christ, there's implications. If this part of your life is true, then this has to be true.
And so I just want to ask you today, are you part of the if? Very simple question. Are you part of the if? Because Paul's talking to Christians and he's saying, if you're raised up with Christ, and what that simply means for you and I is that I've surrendered my life to him. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I don't ever mess up. But it does mean that I have said, I want you to be Lord over my life. I'm going to strive after you every day. When I mess up, when I fall, not if I fall, when I fall, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do the best that I can to get back on track with you. I've made you Lord of my life. That's the if. Are you a part of that today, church? None of this other stuff matters. The sin doesn't matter. The putting on, the righteousness doesn't matter. None of it matters unless you're a part of the if. That's the most important decision you will ever make in your life. It changes everything. When you belong to him, it changes everything. Are you a part of the if? Maybe you are. And I would say probably the majority of us in this room are today. But when Christ becomes your life, he changes what you look at, what you live for, the way that you live your life, the way that you love others. So let me ask you this question today. You're a part of the if. What are you seeking and what are you setting your mind on today? Because he says, if you are in Christ, seek and set your mind on things above. So if you're in Christ today, what are you seeking and what are you setting your mind on today? A real easy way, and man, this hurts. A real easy way to know what you seek and what you're setting your mind on is look at your calendar and look at your bank account. The things you spend your time on and the things you spend your money on, that's what you're seeking. That's what you're doing. That's what you're setting your mind on. Am I setting my mind on earthly things or heavenly things? Let me ask you this personal question. What's your sin today? What's God calling you right now today to get off? He says, throw it off, put it to death. What is the sin in your life right now that you need to begin to hate it and to starve it and to outsmart it? What is it? I got mine. I was convicted all week writing this message. I was like, man, I don't want to preach this. Like, what's yours? What do you need to take off this week? But just as important, and in the next 4 weeks, the sermon series that I'm going to be in is really going to hit on this. Just as important as what do you need to take off, what is God calling you to put on? I promise you, he's not calling you to be an average, mediocre, lukewarm believer. That's not what he's calling you to be. What habits do you need to create? What do you need to replace in your life? What is God calling you to put on, church? Are you ready to commit to carrying his name everywhere you go? Every phone call, every interaction, every text, every email. Are you ready to commit? Not just on Sundays. Just on Sundays is easy. Because everybody else is doing it. Are you ready to commit to say, God, I'm going to live what Paul says. And whatever I do in word or deed, in everything, I'm going to bring your name glory. I'm going to strive to bring. And when I mess up, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to repent. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to bring your name glory in every aspect. Even to the people who don't drive very well. Even to the people who don't respond the way that I thought they should respond. Even to those people in my life that are, yeah, I'm going to put it on. And I'm not going to let the world dictate what I put on. I'm going to put it on because that's what God called me to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes today. I think that Paul wrote this thousands of years ago. And I think that part of the beauty of this letter is that although it was written for cultures thousands of years ago, it is so relevant to our culture today. they had the same battles, the same struggles, the same sins, the same hurts, the same wounds. So today, church, young or old, doesn't matter. First time here, been here a long time, doesn't matter. Are you a part of the if? If you're not, that's step one for you today. You're here for a reason. You're not here by accident. You're not here on, just a coincidence. You're here for a purpose. And God wanted you to hear this message today. If you're not a part of the family of God, take that step today. Be bold. Put that old life aside and start the new life in Christ today. Young people, it's a decision you have to make. Mom and dad can't make that decision for you. Oh, they can love you. They can pray for you. They can read the Bible with you. They can drag you to church. But it's got to be your decision. If you have never taken that step, take that step today. For those of you in here that have taken that step, what sin is God calling you to repentance over? What sin is the thing that keeps coming up in your mind that the Holy Spirit's bringing conviction over? He's saying, hey man, it's time to put that to death. You've cuddled it long enough. It's time to put it to death. What's he calling you to take off today? Get it out of your life once and for all. Nobody knows about it, and the enemy's got you trapped, but it's time to put it to death. Are you willing to take that step? Christians, believers, what is God calling you to put on? Put on compassion, forgiveness, and love, and service, and ministry, and holiness. And he's calling us to put on this righteousness of God. What does that look like for you in your life? It's a choice. It's a choice. Replace that sin. Replace that mess. Replace that foul. Whatever it is, replace it. Say, I'm going to choose. Whatever I do, in everything that I do, I'm going to bring God the glory. Father, I love you and I thank you for each and every person in this room. I just ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to our hearts even as we leave this space. God, help us to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you've put on our hearts. Thank you for men like Paul who wrote these bold letters to the church thousands of years ago that we can learn from today. And Lord, I just ask you right now in this moment, give us the boldness and the courage, the strength to make the decision that you want us to make. No matter how hard it is, no matter how humbling it is, Lord, I know that there's some sin in this room that needs to be broken and that you're wanting us to put it to death, and I pray you'd give us the strength to do that. I know that you're calling some believers higher than just showing up. You're calling them higher at their workplace. You're calling them higher in service of your church. You're calling them higher in service of this community and in our world. May we see every moment of our life as an opportunity to bring your name glory and honor. And then when we fall, help us to realize that you're there. Never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Brian's going to come. He's going to give us a couple of announcements. But I want to say this. One thing that is very, very, very important to me is that you understand whatever the Lord's stirring in your heart, it doesn't matter if we know each other. It doesn't matter if you know everybody here. If the Lord is stirring something in your heart, then respond to that. Because here's what happens, right? You get in a car and we start talking about lunch and football and taking naps and then school tomorrow and then we get busy, right? And one of the biggest tools of the enemy is distraction. And so if God's speaking to your heart this morning, take care of it this morning. Don't wait. Don't put it off. take the time this morning before you leave. Grab one of our pastors. Grab one of us by the hand. We've been praying for you. Man, I've been praying for you so hard this week because I knew this is a tough one. And I've been praying for conviction, and I've been praying for the Holy Spirit to move. And I would hate for him to move, and you feel it, and you sense it, and you know it, but you walk out of here and nothing changes. So take that time to respond to what God has for you today.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.